The country folk duo Count This Penny are husband and wife team Alan and Amanda Rigel. The Tennessee natives relocated to Wisconsin for a number of years and gained a loyal following among local music fans who fell in love with their dark, elegant ballads and intricate harmonies. In 2015, they moved back to Tennessee, where they recorded a second full-length album titled A Losing Match. This month, they're back in Wisconsin for a string of performances, and we caught up with them earlier today in our studio.
There's a half-hearted look in your eyes. You stumbled on loneliness. I've tried, but I don't know why.
Alan, Amanda, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
Well, take us back a little bit. How long were you living here with us in Wisconsin?
5 years.
Five years.
And now, do you miss it a little bit, being back here? Fond memories?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. I miss all of it. I miss the seasons. I miss the people. I miss the scene that we were a part of when we were up here. I miss the energy and the level of activity. I miss it.
Amanda, what took you back to Tennessee?
Day jobs. I mean, also our family is there. We both have huge extended families, and they all live, for the most part, they all live really, really close to us. You know, my little brother lives about 10 minutes away. Alan's sister lives about 25 minutes from us. So that's been really wonderful to be able to get back and like go to our nephew's baseball games and soccer games and stuff. That's pretty fun.
Well, now here you are back in Wisconsin with your new album, A Losing Match. Your vocal harmonies are on full display in songs like Baby You. Let's give a little listen.
Well, I guess you always do. All the ways you could undo. When you push me away from you.
So you sound really natural, and we've seen that when you performed here a few years back, singing together. So what is it, if I was sitting around the dinner table with you two, are you just kind of like, you know, harmonizing on your own at home?
Well, for a while, we were mostly just singing the Hamilton soundtrack constantly. That's probably the closest we've ever come to constant singing. That happened for about six months straight, though.
It was a long six months.
It was a long, yeah. We got really heavily involved with Hamilton.
No, our singing, interestingly enough, sort of waxes and wanes. And so we'll go for periods of time where we really are singing a lot together and finding great joy in that. And then we forget. Then we get wrapped up in our day to day, and we kind of lose touch with it. And then there's this great moment where we start to sing together again, and we're like, oh man, this is pretty rad. Yeah. We have a good time doing this.
And when you're creating on your own or in the studio and songwriting, does the harmony just kind of come naturally between the two of you, or are you like, let's try it this way, let's try it this way, and you have to really work at finding the right match?
The answer is yes and no, which is that Amanda, typically when she starts to sing harmony, it just shows up. There's something in her brain that allows her to do that, and I'm the exact opposite. It feels a little bit more like a math equation where I'm trying to sort of piece it together and try to find a line that makes sense, and we'll go through one bar at a time trying to figure out the part. So it, yes and no is the answer, I think.
Is this something that you kind of always had, Amanda, or are you trained into it? Where did your ear for harmony and just finding that right harmony come from?
Well, I had a boyfriend in high school who, Alan and I were both in band together. We've known each other since we were 15. And we both played trumpet in band, and I was really heavily into playing the trumpet. You know, I was like a seventh grader listening to old Louis Armstrong records.
Nice.
Just like, this is blowing my mind. And then I developed this crush on this other boy, and he said to me, I play the guitar. And I said, I've always wanted to know how to play the guitar, which was a complete lie. I never had any interest in learning to play the guitar. And so then it was just, you know, sort of having a friendship with him that introduced me to the idea of even singing harmony. And so just kind of like listening to the radio, I would try to do it. Then I like, now, you know, living with Alan and playing music with him, I see him really listen carefully and keep working at a harmony. And so his wind up being way more fascinating to me because he'll chip away at it until it's slightly weird and better, you know? So that's fun to watch. I haven't I'm too lazy to do that, but it's really remarkable.
Well, I want to get into instrumentation a little bit. There's some more, from what I've listened to, a little more piano on this album that I remember on from previous albums to the last time you were on. Here's a little bit of that.
You said I was tough. Yeah, you really taught me I was a fool to listen to you.
So did it just feel right, Amanda, to have this one with piano, or were you making a conscious, the two of you conscious and attempt to broaden out the instrumentation a little bit?
I can't really remember, you know. I think I remember one time talking to my brother about some of this stuff, and he's kind of a straight shooter with his opinions, you know, and he was like, I just think it'd be cool if you guys had a song that didn't start out with acoustic guitar. And I think that informed me a little bit. But also what really happened is our friend Josh Oliver was available when we were making this record, and he's just a brilliant piano player, and he plays all the lead guitar parts on the record and some organ and stuff. So it was partially my little brother's opinionated self and partially the genius of Josh Oliver being in the room.
Absolutely.
And the studio having a piano.
Yeah.
That's always crucial.
That's a key.
It really
no
was.
Piano without the piano.
A beautiful old upright piano, yeah.
That's some of my favorite parts of the record are actually some of those creaks and the pedals that you can hear from that old piano.
Yeah.
So we've known Josh for a long time, and when it worked out that he had the time to play and was excited about the project, we did start to make some decisions so that we could showcase some of his musicianship.
I want to check out some more songs to get a taste of the range here. A cover on this one in a full band number, Tennessee Waltz.
Yes, I lost my love and darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee.
This is a song that's been recorded a time or two and performed by marching bands, I understand. And what is it like to go in and tackle this song that, where you are, everybody knows? Is there just like a legal requirement that at some point, as a Tennessee musician, you have to do this song?
Yeah, to move back to Tennessee, that was our price of admission. Must record Tennessee Waltz.
Mm-hmm.
We were listening to Redheaded Stranger a bunch. And
it's Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson. Mm-hmm.
He recorded Blue Eyes Crying in the Rain, and it was a bit of a critical piece of that record was the fact that he chose to record this song that had been recorded a bunch. And so we kind of...
Is that the one?
Isn't it?
Oh, I can't remember. But there's a traditional on there, and we were kind of like, oh, we should do
that. So we tried to just sort of steal that. And, and the record kind of follows a narrative, and there's a moving piece in Tennessee Waltz where I think it's a really sad song, right? You know, I lost my love and darling. And so the song itself helps to move a narrative, and so we thought that it might fit really nicely in the context of the album.
What is that narrative, Amanda?
The narrative is sort of like a relationship reconciliation story, I guess. You know, sort of like recognizing imperfections and sort of like rallying after a tough stretch of life. I don't know. I feel like we wrote this up like for a press release, and that's not what it says at all.
No. The narrative is evolving.
Yeah, the narrative is evolving.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to get too personal, but you're a couple. You've just done this album on relationship reconciliations. Is this coming from life stories here? Your own life stories?
You know, they say, I think the best thing I've ever heard is fiction is telling the truth about other people. So it's a combination of like our own experiences and friends' experiences and just, you know, life in general.
And we were in transition in lots of parts of our life at that time when we recorded the album. And so this is absolutely the darkest album that we have recorded. And it just is sort of relentless in that. And I think that there are parts of our own lives that trickled into that. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give a listen to one more song that jumped out to us. Horses. Now, you performed this one for us on Setlist a few years ago and played that, and it was a different version on the album. And we've got a little, I think, montage of the two.
The horses come in pairs against the rain.
So for the people listening at home, there was a shocked, audible reaction in the studio. Like,
oh my gosh,
like we did it at that sort of double time tempo.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that. It's the look on your face is there.
That is accurate.
That
I have no recollection of that.
What a nice treat. Thank you.
Yeah, that's bonkers.
So cool.
So you didn't remember doing it that way?
No.
No.
I don't think that...
That was you. It wasn't some imposters doing your songs
for us. No, I think
us.
That was you guys. Yeah, that definitely wasn't us.
That was a cover. That's
somebody else.
Yeah. Well, but songs grow and evolve over time for you. Clearly.
Oh, that one did. I've struggled with this song for a couple of years.
You're still struggling with it.
I really am still struggling with it. I ask not to perform it most times we are performing because I still struggle with it.
Really?
Yeah, and I think it's a good song. I think some of the lyrics in it are really... poignant, but for some reason the tune is still changing and still growing legs, or is just what it is now. That's part of, I guess, the process of recording is you just kind of you got to hit the pause button on that at some point in time. And that's what happened with this song. I do like the newer version.
It's like Mike Zirkle told us when we made our record here in Madison. He said, "No record is ever finished. You just have to eventually let go of it. That's why it's called a release," which I thought was really
great.
Poetic. Yeah.
So if people go to your shows, they should definitely request Horses.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. The double time version of Horses. Yeah. That's crazy.
The basement tapes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So as we wrap up, what's it like being back in the music scene in Wisconsin, reconnecting with old friends here?
We saw so many people last night. We played at Mineral Point Opera House, and we saw a lot of familiar faces, and that was really, really wonderful. It was a great welcome home. Actually, I think as soon as we got on stage, somebody was like, "Welcome back to Wisconsin," from the audience, and it just felt so great.
And we're on the road with Simon Balto right now, which is an old friend of ours who's a fantastic singer-songwriter that we met here in Madison. So it does feel like reconnecting. It was really fantastic.
Well, welcome back to Wisconsin, and thanks for joining us again.
Thank you for having us.
I know y'all love.
That was Amanda and Alan Rigel of the country folk duo Count This Penny. You can catch them playing around Wisconsin over the next several weeks, including shows tonight and tomorrow at Three Brothers Farm in Oconomowoc. Coming up, we'll talk about politics and immigration in the United States as part of our week-long immigration series. I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.